Well, God was good this morning, and now we're just waiting to get a response, I understand, and seeing what God is doing here. Let me say to us that you pray for us. We've been offered other interims, but this will probably be our last one. We're just getting up there, and it's very difficult for us to travel anymore at night, and so that's our biggest problem. And so we'll probably maybe end it all here as far as interims. Doesn't mean we're not going to preach. I preach in different places, and Marilyn preaches to me all the time to live the way I need to live. And her marriage license is her preaching license. And thank the Lord. But we'll never forget our time here, how much longer it'll be, we're not sure, but it won't be much longer. And so, by God's grace, you're going to fire me. I think that's good. And my problem I have with these interims is that I make so many friends. Then I got to say goodbye. But you're not that far away, and going 80 mile an hour, I can get here in no time as the Lord leads. Not as my wife leads, because she'll remind me, you're going 80, you're going 82, 83, so forth. Take your Bibles tonight to Matthew, the fourth chapter tonight. Last time we looked somewhat at the first temptation that our Lord had when he was tempted. Of these three temptations, after 40 days and 40 nights, then the devil zeroed on him with three significant temptations. And we knew it was the temptation to do, the temptation to have, and the temptation to be, as we pointed out last time. But our Lord answered each temptation with a verse, with the Bible. I hope we note that there is no better way to handle temptation than just to quote the Word of God. But you can't quote it if you don't memorize it. And you say, I'm too old to memorize. I don't think so. I don't think I am. Look at verse 4. But our Lord said, now note verse 3, if thou be the Son of God. You remember the devil over in the Garden of Eden reminded Eve, really, is he God? Is he really who he says he is? And he was able to get through to her. He will use the same thoughts here. The devil doesn't have to come up with any new tricks. The old ones are just fine. But in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Would you write by verse 4, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, all three temptations will be challenged by a verse from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is that book of all the books that Moses wrote, the Pentateuch. That one is the one is most controversial. Not with me, not with you, but they've always attacked that great book on Deuteronomy, which is so full of great truth. And he quoted out of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And then we notice there the second temptation there in verse 5. And then the devil taketh him up into a holy city. Now let's stop right here. You will find that in each temptation, he will take him up a little higher. He starts to be a temptation in the wilderness, and then he will take him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and then he will take him up to a very high mountain. All three of these speak of exaltation as the devil tries to exalt. So the devil is determined to cause our Lord to fall in his humanity. He couldn't cause him to fall in his deity, but he could in his humanity. Notice there again in verse 5, then devil into a holy city. Look there. That's very important there, because you see, he will use this holy city. He'll create an atmosphere that will be somewhat religious. I say it tonight, I want you just to write this verse down. I'm not going to quote it all, but he was saying, look, you can come up here and you simply just cast yourself down and you will certainly promote yourself in a great way. I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter 45 and verse 5. The first part of the verse is so important, and I quote it to you. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seeketh them not. You seek great things for yourself? Jeremiah says, don't seek great things for yourself. Our Lord would not fall for the trap that was set before him. And as he was taken up to the Holy Spirit, an atmosphere, an ideal environment to do his work, I say to you today that the devil is doing his ideal work through many religious organizations and many churches. He's doing it through there. He said, listen, this is the best atmosphere you're going to find. It's the holy temple, the pinnacle of it, the top of it. And all I want you to do is cast yourself down. I want you to be a show off. And we'll see in a moment that the Lord refused to do it. I remember years ago, my first church, some 52 years ago, in Cambria, California, we were the only Bible-believing church in town. And I remember that month before Easter Sunday when I was asked if I would do a sunrise service for the community. And I asked those who were going who had invited me, I said, well, who else is involved in that? And they said, oh, no, you're the only one on the platform. I said, okay, I think I can do it. A week before it happened, it was in the newspaper, John Stevens would be the keynote speaker, and pastor, I think her name was Sally, of the Unity Church will give the opening prayer. And I called up and I said, look, you told me I was the only one involved in this service. You're asking me to be on the same platform with someone who denies the Trinity of God. You're asking me to be on the platform with someone who has no idea about what Easter is all about. She's going to be there, I'm not going to be there. He said, well, we have to have her. I said, okay, then you get some. He said, how can you do that to us? I said, you lied to me. Now, that was a hard decision. A rough decision for me to make. But I know it was important to make a stand scripturally of what was right, and God had led me to do that. And I remember what he said to me, one of the things he said, well, look, he said, your church will be greatly, your church will be greatly promoted through this. You'll probably get members from it. I said, if God doesn't give us the members, I don't want him anyway. I was thinking of this promotion that took place in this town. You just go on up and you'll be able to be more important than you are now. Turn with me. Go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Because our Lord is reminding us the need of humility. Go over there to chapter 5 of 1 Peter and look with me verse 6 and 7 and 8. There are three key verses in 1 Peter. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Listen, the devil will lift you up that he may cast you down. God will cast you down that he may lift you up. Get the right order that God wants for you. Humble yourselves therefore before God. Then he says in verse 7, casting all your care. Now, in the Greek, the word care is in the plural. I enjoy Wednesday nights because people are giving them their hearts about all the cares they have. But I want you to know something, folks. It's not normally one care, it's cares. They're plural. But it's a plural in the word care. Then it says, for he careth, that's in the singular. There's only one that can meet the cares of your life, and that's the Lord. And then he says there, so after he said, remove your pride in verse 6. Then he says in verse 8, resist the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a roaring lion. walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you don't humble yourself, the devil will get you. The devil will raise you up that he might cast you down, and the Lord will cast you down with your pride that he may lift you up. May we remember the truth of that. And so we see here this devil now, and just cast yourself down. And then I was thinking here, how do you resist? How do you resist the devil? Let me give you a little thought here this evening. And how do we resist him? Let me say, begin each day with first meeting with God. Your first meeting in the morning ought to be with God. I don't mean you shouldn't say hello to your spouse. I don't mean you shouldn't hug your children. But I want to tell you today, before you get off on anything else, I want you to know something. We need to meet with God early in the morning. Get with him. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee and will look up. What do you do? Let the Spirit rule. Let the Son rule. Let the Scriptures rule in your life, or self will rule, sin will rule, and Satan will rule in our life. But let me just think of Del. What is the purpose? What was he trying to do with this temptation? What was he trying to get Jesus to do? Number one, he was trying to get him to do the unnecessary to prove who he was. He was saying, I want to say it as kindly as I can, the devil was trying to get our Lord to show off. Just to show off. Just show everybody who you are. Come to the top of this pinnacle. He took him and he said, just jump off. Well, and when he would have jumped off of that pinnacle, he would have jumped out of the will of God. He would have jumped out of the will of God. Because the Lord had a purpose for the Lord when he came to this earth, and that was to go to Calvary's cross. But if he had jumped off of that pinnacle, he never would have gone to the cross of Calvary. He'd have been a total failure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for not jumping off. Thank you for who you are. Tempted in your humanity, not in his Godhead, but in his humanity, to do the unnecessary to prove who he was, and then to do the unusual to popularize his faith. Jumping off the building would just say, does Jesus Christ really have faith? Would make it very popular. God's not interested in us being popular, folks. I want you to understand that. I struggle with pastors and churches who are trying to popularize their ministry, popularize what they're doing. We only need to popularize the Lord, to make him shown here. Not only to do the unnecessary to prove who you are, the unusual to popularize your faith, to just show, that guy has, look what he did. But to do the unwise to portray your faith. Just do something that, just show off. Then I said, Lord, notice here in chapter, look what he does here. Verse 6, because as we look at this, we see the perversion in verse 6. Now, when you think of perversion, you're thinking of some sexual perversion. I'll tell you, there's a greater perversion. You know what it is? Misquoting this book. That's a greater perversion. Look what he does in verse 6. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a rock. He is quoting Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. But he leaves something out. He did that in the garden, and he's doing it here. I can't emphasize enough for you the importance of the inspired and preserved Word of God. I just can't emphasize it enough. They're perverting it left and right. When you go to Psalm 91, so turn there for just a moment. He is quoting here verse 11, but he leaves out a little phrase here. Let's look at verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He didn't quote all the verse. In all thy ways. Why is that important? Because all the ways that Jesus followed were God's ways. And he left it out because now he's not concerned about him following God's ways. I want you to follow my ways. So he's perverting the scripture tremendously there. And I want you to see that. Now let's quickly look at the third temptation. For we see, not only do we see he answers him with the word of God, and he's quoting here, verse 7, Jesus in him is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now write Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. You remember in the first temptation, he quoted Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and here he's quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Now we go to the third temptation. This to me is the most profound part of the temptation, mainly because I don't understand it. I have to be honest with you. I want you to bear with me with this temptation because it is so vital to see what was happening here in that third temptation. I want you to notice now he goes to a mountain. He started in the wilderness. Then from the wilderness, he goes to the pinnacle of the temple, and now he takes him to a high mountain. Be careful when the devil wishes to promote you, because if the higher he will try to lift you up, the greater will be the fall. Think with me. Think with me as he does this here. We saw the high place of promotion, first the wilderness, pinnacle of the temple, now an exceedingly high mountain. But notice something. Look there in Matthew 4 again. And look with me in verse 9. He said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou would just fall down and worship me. But would you also write by verse 9, Luke 4, verse 5. Because Luke 4, verse 5, gives us a little more information of what he was trying to say. Verse 5, and the devil taketh him up into an high mountain and showed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now that's the part I don't understand. But it tells me this. The devil has more power than we give credit for. And I think that's one of our failures. We fail to realize how much power he has. He is able to show a human being, Jesus was human as well as divine, to show him something. Now keep in mind his deity already, he can look into, he's God. But it is humanity. This is a mystery. I don't fully. Maybe you can explain it to me. I can't explain it. But I do know this here. He offered him all the power he would have, the possessions he would possess, all things, and the person he would just fall down and worship me. And by the way, when you do that, you will also the pain you will avoid. By the way, he was getting a shortcut to save us. He's trying to convince Jesus, you won't have to go to the cross. You won't have to go there. You won't have to have the pain of the cross. Can I say this dogmatically? There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. You do it God's way. Always God's way. And nothing else. And so we see the power he would have had. I go look at verse 5 again there in chapter 4. Showeth him and to him all the kingdoms of the world, what? In a moment of time. Now that is a lot of power. But I'm wondering what the devil showed him. wouldn't show him 9/11. He wouldn't show him World War II or World War I. He wouldn't show all the disasters. He'd make it all look so good. You see, the devil makes the world look so good to humanity. It looks so good. Sin is so good. Satan is so good. You'll just have things you never dreamed of if you'll fall down. Now, the same offer that Satan made to Jesus, he makes to you and I. I'll mark that down. If you don't get anything else out of this tonight, get that. He offers the glories of the world instead of the glory of the world. He offers those things that are not eternal. A moment of pleasure, a lifetime of sin. Oh, listen, the devil is saying, look how wonderful it is to have this woman or this man other than your wife or your husband. How wonderful it is to have this power. I think right now we got people in Washington, D.C. are demon-possessed with the power that the devil has given them, and you can just sense the pride. And they've fallen down and they've worshiped him. And I can name you pastor after pastor who has fallen down and worshiped him so that they could build a spectacular church instead of a scriptural church. They could have things that would make them look good instead of him looking good. So we realize here, I want you to notice there, what did he use here? Remember, one, he used the three things: sight, supernatural, and speed. Sight, the eye gate. He simply showed him things. He did the same thing to Eve and Adam and Eve in the garden. Sight. Watch our eyes, folks. Watch our eyes. They take in things the devil uses if we're not careful. And I recommend that our people be careful how they dress, that you do not cause other people to take in their sight things that they should not see. Amen? Say amen or FM, something. We need to be careful. Supernatural. He showed him all those things. He likes to manipulate the scenery to make everything look good. He loves to manipulate the scenery. Now, I don't mean the scenery of our planet here in a sense. I tell you, when I drive up to this way and go in the morning here on Sunday morning, what a beautiful sight we have there. It's just wonderful going 80 mile an hour, going up that, 60 mile an hour going up that hill. But seeing all the, and as the reach fall, the leaves are going to start turning, just beautiful. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the scenery of things that will cause one to fall. Power, possessions, people. Things, on and on goes the list. Watch out. The devil took all these things and said, here, Jesus, it's all yours. He wasn't realizing, I think he did realize, that Jesus is God. He already has all those things. But he would have lost it all if he would have bowed down and worshiped him. He would have lost it all if he would have simply would have jumped off that pinnacle. He would have lost it all if he would have turned those rocks into bread. By the way, interesting, the very first temptation that you find is food. Isn't that interesting? Do you have trouble with food besides me? Are you here tonight? We have a problem a little bit with food, don't we? And I like to stuff myself now and then. I do not go to a smorgasbord very often. Better off to go not to go at all, because I have a hard time seeing the scenery of all the food that looks so good. Even that can be wrong if we're not careful. Think with me, the speed. In a moment of time, in a moment. Wow, I don't know how many seconds that was. 60 seconds in a minute. I don't know what it meant by moment of time, but he showed him everything. We think of the speed. I think of the things that we're not willing to wait on God for. How many have a problem with patience? I've asked that question before. Don't raise your hand. We all, most of us have problems. My wife is constantly saying, honey, patience. Now, I have to, and I love Jesse. I love him to death. He's my good friend. But I almost got impatient this morning until he finally announced I wanted to jump up. Tell us how many, what the vote was. Is there anybody here that felt that way besides me? Yeah, he felt that way. I say, come on, give us the bottom line. We want to know where we are. Speed. Speed. Sometimes we have to just say, Lord, we need to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, and so forth. We know the verse. Well, how did our Lord answer him? Look there, going back to our Matthew passage there. Look with me, if you will. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He goes to Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. So the first temptation, he quotes Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. The second one, he quotes Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. And the third one, Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. And then the Bible says the devil leaveth him. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. I don't have time tonight, but I thank God for angels, for God's heavenly messengers. I thank God that each one of us here have an angel. Do you know you have an angel watching over you? Did you know that? How many know that? How many don't know that? You're going to know it now. Go to Hebrews somewhere. When you get there, I'll tell you where. Go Hebrews chapter 1. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 1. I think I have it. Chapter 1, verse 13. To which of the angels said he, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Then he make, look at verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent unto or to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You have angels today watching over us. You know, I don't pray to them. Hallelujah. Don't you ever pray to angels. But I thank God for them. The word angel is the word for messenger. And they're messengers to protect us. I remember as a child of 11, might have told this story. When you get my age, you repeat a lot of things. But I was at the waterwork dams in Newark, Ohio, and I got caught in an undercurrent. I went out too far, got caught under an undercurrent, and those boys and girls that were swimming with me, they tried to form a chain to get out to me, and they lacked about 3 or 4 feet to get to me. And as a young boy, not saved, I knew all of a sudden, in a moment of time, I said, Lord, God, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to die. I can't get out of this undercurrent, and I'm going to die. That was my first encounter with God. knowing something about him. And as when I looked up, a hand reached out to me. I can describe you in detail that person in my mind. Wasn't real tall. He reached out and grabbed my hand and led me back to the shore. And all of us, they got me down on the ground and they're pumping water out of me and on your chest, doing the things that are necessary. And I look up and I said, "Where'd that man go? We need to thank him." And one of them said, "What man?" "Somehow you just got out of there." I said, "Somebody got me out of there." And somebody else said, "I saw him, but he's not here anymore." I believe that was an angel from heaven knowing that I would get saved one day. And he protected me. I can remember the times in my own life and your life that God sent that. Thank God we not only just have fallen angels, we have faithful angels of the Lord watching after him, caring for us. I want to say thank you tonight, God, for them. Thank you. Have you thanked God for the angels that watch over us? Do that. So we see in these temptations the victory that our Lord had. And it's always victory when you quote and rely on Scripture. When you don't, when you're watching the eye gate, you can have victory. When your only thing that you're dealing with the supernatural is God, don't deal with anything else than with God and the supernatural. And speed, just be patient. Now don't be our president who at when he was meeting with the families of the victims who died and there on that terrible day when 13 people were killed, what did he do? He kept looking at his watch. God help us. Just be patient. Let God work. You have had me here for some 9 months. Maybe some of you say, "Boy, I'm glad that's soon to be over." Don't you dare say amen to that. Or I'll preach an hour and a half next week. But because you've been patient, I believe God's going to give you the man and his family you need. God has great things in store. Father, tonight, thank you.